Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. I'm your host, Ben Carson, and we have someone here today who was here about a year ago. She was just beginning to be known. Now she's a household word. Everybody knows this person. She's in the epitome of courage and consistency. And, of course, that is Riley Gaines. And, you know, she's advocating for something that makes sense, preserving female sports and the integrity of single-sex sport. It used not to be a controversial issue. Suddenly, in our country, it's become a controversial issue. And first of all, Riley, welcome back. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carson, for having me on. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, you know, you swam on the University of Kentucky Wildcats team, ended your college career as one of the most decorated swimmers in the program's history, with several records being set, three times NCAA championship qualifier, U.S. Olympic trial qualifier, one of the best female swimmers in the nation. And yet you found yourself in a situation where you were swimming against Leah Thomas. You tied, but she was given, or he or whatever, was given the title ahead of you. And instead of shrinking and just saying, poor me, you really became a tremendous advocate. And I think you're the epitome of bravery and patriotism. So first thing I want to do is thank you for doing that. But I want to ask you, what's been going on in the year since we spoke to you?
Oh my gosh, Dr. Carson, that's a loaded question. There's been a whole lot going on. Of course, I think a lot of what we see is the negative. We see a lot of these stories continue to happen, reminding people that what myself and my teammates and competitors, what we went through, is by no means unique. We have seen countless girls lose out on opportunities and roster spots at all levels, right? Elementary school, middle school, high school, college, even professional and amateur sports. Women are losing out on opportunities to men. We are seeing women's privacy impacted in the locker room aspect of these sports. We are seeing women's safety being impacted adversely. There's been multiple stories since the last time we talked. Peyton McNabb, she's a high school senior from North Carolina, going against, it's a volleyball game, which keep in mind, a men's volleyball net is 7.5 inches higher than the women's net. It's almost as if they're acknowledging biological advantage. But there's a boy posing as a girl playing on the girls' team. He jumps up, he spikes the ball. It comes back down. It hits Peyton in the face, a high school senior at the time.
70 miles from here.
Come on. And this was in September of 2022. Yeah. So, you know, a year and 8-ish months later. still to this day, Dr. Carson, she's partially paralyzed on her right side. Her vision is impaired. Her memory is impaired. She has to have special accommodations for testing at school because she can't retain information like she once could. Now she's not playing college sports like she was supposed to. Or this field hockey player in Massachusetts, again, a boy playing on the women's team, slaps a shot, hits her in the face, knocked all of her teeth out. She had to undergo facial and dental surgeries to reconstruct her face. Or most recently, in Massachusetts, again, and keep in mind, this is a state governed by a woman. High school basketball game, excuse me. There was a boy, 6'2", facial hair. Before halftime, he had injured three girls on the opposing team. So many girls were injured that they had to forfeit the game. They couldn't even keep playing. So crazy stuff. That being said, we see all of that. That's what gets national attention. But there's been a lot of positive impact that's been had since the last time we talked as well.
Why do you think the left has so little understanding of this issue? Have you talked to them and heard anything reasonable come from them?
I think it's gracious to say that they don't have an understanding, because I think they do have an understanding. I think they know, they see this just like you and I do, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist, or it doesn't take in the words of Ketanji Brown Jackson, it doesn't take a biologist to see this. It takes someone with a brain or a heart, for that matter, to understand that men and women are different and to see that women are being adversely impacted. And so since the last time we talked, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act was introduced in the U.S. House by Representative Greg Stube. Right. And Dr. Carson, it fell entirely on party lines, meaning 219 Republicans voted in favor of protecting women and girls in sports. And all 203, every single last one of them, mothers and fathers of their own young daughters, all 203 Democrats voted in opposition. And I don't believe that it's because they really think that it's fair, or that they really think that it's right, or that they would really be okay with their young daughter undressing next to a man in a locker room. I hold this hope in my heart that they don't really think that, because if they do, I think there's a separate conversation that needs to be had involving CPS, because it's sick, it's disgusting, and you're a sellout to your own child at that point. Well, I just think it's a classic case of virtue signaling is what I think it is.
Yeah, they not only virtue signal, they can actually get violent. What happened at San Francisco State University?
Gosh, you're exactly right. And I met with that relatively often is the sad part. But at San Francisco State, I went there to share a message similar to what I'm talking to you about. But upon going to San Francisco, I was naive to believe that these protesters or students or community members would come with an open mind and the willingness to have their hearts softened, because they did not. They came with their pitchforks and fire. And ultimately I was ambushed. I was assaulted. I was punched by these men who were wearing dresses, which fortunately for me, their punches don't really hurt that bad. But really these protesters, they ended up holding me for ransom through the night, demanding that if I wanted to make it home to see my family safely again, I had to pay them money. Now, you might be wondering where the police. This is San Francisco. The police are being held for ransom with me.
That was my next question. What were the police doing?
Well, they told me, they said, look, we really can't be seen as anything other than an ally to this community. Keep in mind, this is the same community who's on the other side of the door calling them racist pigs for protecting a white girl like me. Right. Which shows you how really, and we see it all the time, but it shows you how two-tiered our justice system really is. And even now the police have come back and said that there's no charges that can be pressed anywhere, not to the individual students, not to the university, not to the police department themselves. They said there's nothing concrete to press charges.
Well, I'm sure you expected a different life when you entered college than you have now. But what has really changed in your life since you started speaking up?
Everything. Honestly, like you said, this is never a position that I saw myself in. Nevertheless, a position I would have imagined anyone would have to take, that it would be necessary for anyone to take. But here we are. I've been eye-opened in a lot of ways, that's for sure. I've been eye-opened to the political realm, really how that works, really how much corruption there is. I've been eye-opened to the media, and again, just how biased the media really is, how much they will slander and defame you. I've been eye-opened spiritually. That's probably where I've been eye-opened the most, honestly. And look, I'm very fortunate to have grown up in a household where we went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But this past year and a half, 2 years, I've just seen very clearly how God works and how he moves and how he has his hand on me. And I pray every day for strength. I pray for protection. I pray for direction. I pray for wisdom. And he provides. But just as clearly, I have seen how his opposition works and how he moves. And he moves through deceit. He moves through temptation. He moves through manipulation. He moves through lies and affirming delusions. And it's undeniable, his presence, because that's what this, I would say a lot of these cultural issues really plaguing this country, but the gender ideology movement, it's based on deceit and it's based on lying and affirming delusions. And who does that sound like? So I've had my eyes opened in a lot of different ways, but I've grown and I've adapted and I've learned, and you kind of just roll with the punches.
Well, you know, my faith has helped me to be able to weather the storms very well, because I realize that against the backdrop of eternity, you know, this little inconvenience that we suffer here is not anything to worry about.
And we already know the outcome, which is the best part. And it's certainly why, just as you said, I'm able to do this with a smile on my face and an incredibly light heart, because we already know who wins. Correction, we already know who has won the war.
Exactly. So. Well, why do you think the feminists don't care about this issue? What, I mean, that is such a weird thing. All the fighting that they did for years and years, and now it seems like we're trying to obliterate women and they don't care.
As mentioned with Governor Healey in Massachusetts, it is seems to be we are our own worst enemy. You think of someone like Billie Jean King, right? The really who we have to accredit Title IX to. Played in the Battle of the Sexes. One, it was this incredible feat, really propagated women, not just in women's sports, but as a whole in society, in the workplace. We have her to a credit for a lot of that. She is now actively undermining everything she once fought for, and she's fighting for male inclusion in women's sports and women's spaces. Even thinking back to when I testified before Congress last month or a couple months ago, one of the Democrat witnesses who was next to me, she was the president of the National Women's Law Center. And in her opening testimony, she said that women should just learn how to lose more gracefully. And when I heard this, I'm thinking to myself, the president of the National Women's Law Center, do you understand how misogynistic you sound to say that women should just step aside, smile, learn to be empathetic to those men who want to dominate and demand the language by which we use when we're talking to them? Are you kidding me? There are very few feminists, the original feminists, right, who have been on our side on this. I think of someone like Martina Navratilova, who is, look, we don't agree on virtually any issue other than this one, but she's an ally and someone who I admire for, of course, her athletic accomplishments, but really the stand she's been willing to take, because she's taken a lot of heat for saying men cannot become women. I know that I wouldn't have had the achievements I had men been allowed to play tennis with me. So I admire her a lot.
Well, you know, when you stop and think about it, and heavyweight, they have heavyweight and middleweight and lightweight and boxing. Obviously, that's for a reason. You don't want to take the guy who's 250 pounds and put him against the guy who's 125 pounds. It makes no sense.
And that doesn't make you fat phobic to say that. No. It's because you're acknowledging the advantages that are real and exist. Same thing with, like, you know, you have in baseball, you have 18 and under and you have Little League. We have these categories for a reason. Same reason with, you know, the Paralympics versus the Olympics. It's not because we're discriminating against people who aren't able-bodied. It's because we know that there are advantages that able-bodied people possess that someone who is disabled would never be able to compete with.
Exactly. But we're going to take a 1 minute break and we'll be right back with Riley Gaines.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back with Common Sense. As I always say, common sense isn't common anymore. And we're always delighted when we find somebody who has it. And we have one such guest today, Riley Gaines. And welcome back. Fairness in Women's Sports Act. You mentioned that. Are there some states that seem to be leading the way?
There are, and they're the states you can imagine. It's your red conservative states. 24 states have now passed some sort of fairness in women's sports bill, which is huge considering just 3 years ago, only one state had. So lots of traction, lots of momentum. The most recent state actually was Ohio, which if you can remember, Republican Governor DeWine, Mike DeWine, vetoed the legislation.
It
bothered me so bad because in his press conference afterwards, he said he wanted to err on the side of compassion. We have lost the meaning of these words because, again, it is not compassionate to ask a young girl to undress in front of a man. And it's not inclusive to ask us to smile and step aside and allow these men onto our podiums. No, that's exclusive. And it's exclusive to the very female athletes who Title IX was passed to protect. He joins actually a long list of Republican governors who have vetoed this legislation. Governor Cox in Utah, Governor Cooper in North Carolina. So not surprising, I'll say, given track record over COVID and the whole thing in East Palestine. But I think this opened a lot of Ohioans' eyes. Which is what has to happen sometimes. Sometimes you need unfortunate circumstances to get things actually back on track. And I believe that's what this was. So 24 states have now done that, which is huge.
Well, that's encouraging. And I think latest polling show about two-thirds of the people of our country feel that transgender men or women or whatever should not be allowed to just pick and choose which area they want to go into. But, you know, what it was interesting to me is you might remember at Christmas time, the mayor of Boston had a party, but it was for only people who were not white. It was absolutely crazy. But I was just wondering what would have happened if a bunch of white people had gone anyway and say, we identify as black today. I mean, that'd be a heck of a lot easier than identifying as the opposite sex, wouldn't it?
Come on. I know that. It's very true. And honestly, it's something that we should be, I mean, as Americans, we should be thinking about what's next. What's the next thing they're going to ask us to deny or to tell us that we can deny? Because again, if we're willing to deny sex, the most basic of truth since the beginning of time when God created man and woman, the sheer essence of humanity. Hate to break it to everyone listening or watching, everyone on this planet, we're all here from man and woman, and we're being asked to deny that from the people at the tippy top, make no mistake. So it's really limitless. If we are willing to deny that, that's as if we're willing to deny that the sky is blue. What's the next thing? Is it age? You know, can people become trans age? Someone who's 50 thinks they're 12 years old? Or is it, you know, like you said, I've seen someone who's trans-abled, someone who identifies as having some sort of disability. Is it trans race? It sounds crazy, but 5 years ago, this whole thing sounded crazy. Right. So it's something, honestly, that as everyday Americans, as parents, we should be thinking about, especially given that it's an election year.
Logic and common sense have fled from us. I was in Europe talking to some of the Europeans not too long ago, and I said, what do you think about America today? And the common response I got was, they've lost their minds.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's easy to see outside looking in, but sometimes we don't really see our own self-destruction.
Well, I'm hopeful that we will find some common sense, but have you found any effective arguments or insights to help women in general see what's at stake here?
Of course. In terms of messaging and talking about this issue, what I've seen be really effective and truly how I feel. Look, my message, it's very quick to get labeled as anti-trans or as, you know, transphobic, whatever other word they want to call you. But understand my argument, my stance that I'm taking, it is pro reality. It is pro fairness. It is pro truth. It is pro common sense. It is pro woman. I stand for something, not against anything. I'm standing for women, not against people who identify as trans. That's how I like to approach this topic. That's how I like to talk about this topic. I'm very much pro woman. Messaging, which I think as a conservative myself, not that this issue should be partisan or polarized like it's become, but as a conservative myself, I think it's something we should seize. You know, for so long, the Republican Party has been deemed as the party that hates women, the woman haters, which is not the truth. And I think this is a way to kind of take that back and really hold the Democrats' feet to the fire and say, hey, it's you who is actively and openly discriminating against women on the basis of our sex. That's you guys. And what do we call someone who does that? We call them a misogynist. Mm-hmm. So every time someone calls me transphobic, I just say, okay, well, you're a misogynist. And they hate, let me tell you, Dr. Carson, they hate when their own intersectional language is used against them.
That's a good idea. Maybe we can spread that ideal around a little bit. You know, President Biden weighed in on these things with an executive order. And it reads, children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. What do you think about the president's statement?
Well, I think one, he's spineless. Two, I think he lacks a moral compass. And three, that's just, it's a classic case of virtue signaling. Mm-hmm. There is no one denying anyone to go to the bathroom. There is no one denying anyone to play sports. I'm actually encouraging every single person to play sports, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of your gender identity, regardless of your race, regardless of which sport you play. Every single person, I've seen the benefits of playing sports. Everyone should play sports.
Absolutely.
Just compete in a category that is fair and that is safe. That's it. That's the whole premise. And you're really going to argue with that? You're going to argue with wanting to keep everyone, including people who identify as trans, safe and in an environment where it's fair. So again, it's lies. It's propaganda, honestly, is what it is. Speaking to the Biden administration, they have rewritten Title IX entirely, you know, implemented 52 years ago. Again, the strides we have made as women, the people who fought long before me, totally dismantled, and they have equated sex with gender identity, meaning it will no longer be preventing discrimination on the basis of sex, preventing discrimination on the basis of gender identity. And in a nutshell, because it's a lot broader than just women's sports, this means men can take academic and athletic scholarships away from women. Men can join sororities, which is already happening. Men would have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, changing spaces on campuses or anywhere that receives federal funding. Men would be randomly housed in dorm rooms with women. And if you, under this new rewrite, if you, a 17-year-old girl who had just gone off to college, randomly housed with a man, if you go to your administration and complain, under this new rewrite, you are guilty and charged with sexual harassment. Not the man who's parading around your locker room. No, President Biden calls that brave. He calls that stunning and inspiring. But you calling a spade is grounds for sexual harassment. You can expect to hear something, I would imagine, within the next two or so weeks on what this implementation looks like from the Biden administration. They've been working in secrecy behind closed doors because they know this is a losing issue for them.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, polling shows that of all the subgroups, the people who seem to be most supportive of the trans people playing in whatever teams they want to play in are the young people. And they are our future. Any suggestions on what we do about that?
It breaks my heart, honestly. A lot of these people who have fallen victim to this movement, even people who identify as trans, I believe a lot of them, of course, there are some opportunists, but I really do believe a lot of these people who have fallen, they're victims just like the rest of us. And it's because they have been deceived. And understand, it's dangerous once you're deceived because you're no longer in a position where you know right from wrong because you don't know what right is. And that's the category a lot of young people, people in middle school, high school, college, colleges, campuses are a breeding ground, as we've seen come to light in the past couple months, especially since what has happened in the Middle East. College campuses are a breeding ground for this type of ideology.
But long before they get to college.
Long before. But we're realizing that now. I really think parents are waking up. I think, you know, kids, honestly, what I've realized and going to these different college campuses and receiving an influx of messages daily, there's a lot more of people like me than we think. It's just a matter of feeling comfortable enough to voice how you feel. So many of us are terrified. They're terrified of being called transphobic or homophobic or racist or white supremacist or domestic terrorist or a fascist. They're terrified of that. And understandably so. I was terrified of being called those things until I realized that the people saying it speaks more to their insecurities than it does to my own.
Well, if they love you, you're probably in trouble.
That's the truth.
At any rate, you know, it's the goal of Marxists to gain control of a society. And the best way for them to do that is through the young people. And that's why they start so early. That's why Lenin said, give me your young people to teach for 4 years and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted. And I think we're going to have to be every bit as aggressive as they are in terms of presenting the right ways and science. You know, they're always talking about following science. What does science tell you? Tell you have two X chromosomes, you're female. If you have an X and a Y, you have a male. End of story. But now they've got a spectrum. You know, it's not just, you know, binary. It's a spectrum with 1,000 different choices on it. And can you imagine how confusing that is to a child, particularly if they don't have a solid home life?
That's a big piece of it, too. And something that I feel set me apart maybe from some of my teammates and competitors who felt the same way that I did, but were scared to say something is because I've got a strong family foundation. I've got two parents who love each other. Again, growing up strong in my faith, those things really do matter. But yeah, to your point, I can't imagine my little sister. I'm from Tennessee, which of course is a conservative state. But even in my little sister's high school, she's a freshman, she's 15. They had a boy in their PE class changing in the women's locker room. They implemented litter boxes in the school for a minute. And that's in Tennessee. So look, no one is immune to this. I actually think some of the conservative states are the most susceptible to this because you think it won't happen here. But it is happening here. It is happening everywhere. That would be your first mistake if you become complacent. And just as you said, I believe we have to fight back just as hard as they are pushing this, whether that's through litigation. I think we need to see more lawsuits. It's what the left does so well, is they threaten lawsuits and they pursue these lawsuits.
It's amazing what's happening. But I actually think people are observing this. I think they're seeing what's going on. And I think the American people recognize the danger that we are in and what we stand to lose. The only question will be, will they be like you? Will they be courageous? Or will they be sheeple and just hope that no one calls them a nasty name? That will determine the fate of our country. And we'll be back in 1 minute with our last segment with Riley Gaines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with more Common Sense. I hope you've been enjoying our time here with Riley Gaines, a very courageous young woman who's also very smart and tenacious and probably has an incredibly bright future, although some of the people on the other side would not say that.
Definitely not.
You know, it would be so much easier for you and your career to just submit and relax and enjoy life. What gives you the fight?
It would be that when I graduated college, I was in dental school. Look, I'd already accepted my seat. I put my deposit down. I'd taken the DAT, which is that miserable 4-ish hour long test to get into dental school, scored in the top percentile in the nation, could have gone anywhere I wanted. That was the safe and the secure option for me. I'd also just gotten married in my senior year of college, which has been the biggest blessing. Getting married young, finding your life partner, your best friend, really. I could not recommend getting married young enough. That to say, it would have been really easy for me to essentially ride off into the sunset with the plans that I had made for me. Mm-hmm. But I realized pretty quickly, honestly, that the quickest way to make God laugh in your face is to make plans for yourself. Because he very clearly had different plans for me.
Right.
And that's what I try and do now, is trust in him, trust in his calling for me. Again, praying for guidance, hoping he shows me the way that I can be of use to him and his glory and his message and his word.
And he will.
But other than that, you know, I have a younger sister, as I mentioned. That's who we fight for. Being married for almost 2 years, I can only hope to have a daughter of my own one day.
Absolutely.
That's what keeps me in this fight. I understand it's my future. It's my daughter's future that's at stake here. And that's why we fight.
And I have to tell you, I got married early also. We're at 49 years now.
It's amazing.
It goes by so fast. And I asked God, I said, the next relationship, dear Father, help that to be the right one, because I'm not going to resist. And it was. So he's there for us. We just have to trust in him. But where's your support coming from?
Everywhere, actually. All across the map. It's coming from people across party lines. Like I said, amazing family, amazing friends, and amazing support wheel around me. again, we see the negative. We see some of the negative comments that I get, because it's really easy for people with no profile picture or who won't attach their name to their profile to comment something just profane and obscene and heinous, or easy for someone like Keith Olbermann, who's like 100 years old and attacking me. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, go find someone else to attack. We see that. But what we don't always see is the messages of support, because it's tenfold, Dr. Carson, anything negative. There is so much support out there. And that's what keeps me going too, is just keeping it into perspective. How many people message me and say, thank you for doing what you're doing. You've given me the courage to go to my school board and say something, or you've given me the courage to at my job, even something as simple as, you know, not putting pronouns in my email subline or whatever. That's how we fight back, is we say no. We roll up our sleeves and say enough is enough. And I get those messages daily. So the support is coming from every angle you could possibly imagine.
Well, I suspect you are probably putting some of this in a book. Would I be right about that?
You're right. It's what a crazy process. Again, a crazy past couple of years. And yeah, I have written a book now, which is super fun. It is called Swimming Against the Current, Fighting for Common Sense in a World That's Lost Its Mind. Mm-hmm. It is available for pre-sale now, but it comes out in May. I've also partnered with Brave Books, which is a phenomenal. If no one knows what Brave Books is, you should certainly look them up, because it is a children's book like subscription service. You get a new book every month. They have different authors who teach or who write about pro-God, pro-family, pro-America values. It's nothing partisan. It's nothing political. But again, you and I talked about the attack on children, and this is how we combat that. And so my book there is called Happy No Snakes Day. It's about standing for the truth despite the consequences.
Well, I hope people will avail themselves of it, because, you know, the only thing that can really bring us down is the destruction of our foundation, which is our faith and our families. And I think those who want to fundamentally change us know that. And that's why there's such a torrent of opposition to faith and family.
Of course.
And those of us who know what faith and family can do have to be real warriors, because it's very easy to sort of sit back and just ignore what's going on or hope that it doesn't affect you personally. But the fact of the matter is, it will affect you. And it will affect your children and your grandchildren, and it will affect the entire society. You can't hide, so you may as well get involved in it. That would be my message to people.
Could not agree more. As I said, no one is immune. And if we all waited until we were directly impacted to take a stand, like I did, honestly, I waited until it affected me. I can pretty certainly say, had I not been impacted, this, I wouldn't say it's an issue I wouldn't care about it. I would still care about it, but not enough to get involved. Right. I had to be impacted. But if we all waited, just like I did, it's too late. So I could not agree more. Trust God's calling for you. And stand your ground.
Well, most leaders are not born leaders. They're forged leaders. And they're forged by the experiences that they have. And you're a great example of that. But in closing, there's a lot of young girls out there, very talented, who must be getting a little bit discouraged when they're seeing what's going on here. What's your message to them?
I know there's a lot of those girls, because, again, I get the messages, whether it's from the girls themselves saying, you know, this is happening on my team or at my school, I don't want to play anymore, or from the parents. And it breaks my heart, because, again, I saw and I know and I reaped the benefits of playing sports that have transcended beyond just my athletic career and into my life now, in terms of leadership, in terms of dedication, in terms of resiliency, setting goals and working to achieve those goals. All of the things that I'm doing now, I accredit to playing sports. Mm-hmm. And girls are losing out on that now. And so my message to those girls is, don't get discouraged. We cannot concede. We cannot just give up, because when we do that, we are allowing the other side to win. What we need to see, especially to, you know, high school, middle school, elementary school girls, is parents We need parents willing to defend their daughters and honestly teach their sons masculinity, teach their sons how to be strong men. That's why this nation is, other than the fact that we live in a godless society, I would say our nation is suffering the most because of weak male leadership in every realm, whether it's, again, the tippy top, our federal government, whether that's academia, whether that's corporate America, whether that's even our spiritual leaders. So it seems we have seen weak leadership. So we need to raise a generation of strong men. And I think it's due time. There's a process, and it's, you know, hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times. And there's no doubt in my mind right now, we're living in the part where weak men have created hard times, which will garner strong men again, but we need to expedite this process. So parents, defend your kids, defend your daughters, and teach your sons how to be strong men.
Absolutely. And recognize that you can't escape, so you may as well get involved.
Jump in.
And it's gonna help your children. It's gonna help us as a nation. We've been through some tough times in this country, but this is America. And it's a country that's imbued with a can-do attitude, not the what can you do for me attitude. And as long as we keep that and we keep our faith in God and remember that we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, and remember that you cannot be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave. And Riley Gaines, you are an example of bravery, patriotism, and wisdom. And we thank you. We support you. And I hope people will get involved with you, with what you're doing, because that's the right pathway. And we'll catch up with you again next year.
Well, you rock, Dr. Carson, and all the same back to you. So thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Riley Gaines. What an incredible young woman and a vigorous fighter for fairness, a courageous warrior. We need more people like that, because that's what made America, and that's what made us into a great nation. People who wouldn't allow themselves to be silenced. People who were willing to fight for not only their rights, but for the rights of others. And I hope you will grasp that same attitude and recognize, as I said during the program, this is going to catch up with you, all this craziness that's going on, this left-wing stuff that's trying to destroy the foundation of our country. You can't hide from it, so you might as well get involved. Get involved now. The sooner we all get involved, the sooner we return to a state of normalcy, which is a state of greatness. And that's it for this week. Make sure you listen on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, free of charge, by the way. Rate us, review us, tell your friends about us. We have to make common sense common once again. You're the key to doing that. And remember the cornerstones: faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.